It was beautiful. Everything was beautiful, wonderful. Until the war. That first summer of 39, my parents sent me to near Switzerland, but it was France, to stay with a French, non-German-speaking family, because they decided my French wasn't yet good enough and never will be. And so I stayed with that family. They were very Catholic. They went to Mass every single morning of the week. And they had one older son who I guess had TB. I don't know what he had, but he had something that he didn't ever participate with anything. So I stayed home with him in the morning, and then they came back. And I did learn a lot of French. And then one day there was this frantic telephone call to them, not to me, from my parents, that I should get home immediately. That was when Poland was invaded.
September 1st.
So they took me to the train station. You couldn't even get on the train. They were so crowded, all the people who were in, it was close to Chamonix, and that's where people go in summer, and they had a summer house there, these people where I was. They were traveling on the steps that you go up to the... And so they pushed me, my people, they pushed me up there. And somehow, like, people were like sardines standing and sitting outside the wagons. And I got in, and I was pressed against all these people, and I looked up, and there's a good friend, the father of a good friend.
Oh, nice.
Okay? So that was nice. And I came to Paris, and we left for a week. We got out of Paris because everybody was afraid something could happen.
Now, you and your grandmother and your mother and
was
brother?
Your father there?
Everybody was there.
Everybody was there.
Okay. Everybody was there in Paris. Everybody. And they had my brother come from wherever he was, I don't know. And we immediately went outside of Paris for a week to some nice hotel, some resort in Saint-Germain-en-Laye. Nothing happened. Everything was quiet. We all came back to Paris, but I didn't go back to Chamonix because it was much later. It wasn't worth it anymore. And then life started pretty normal. School and everything else. Until, of course, June.
Yep.
Already before June, there were air raids every night.
Just so you know, the invasion happened in June of 1940. And
that's
it was
right.
Not a very 40. Long time.
Yeah.
Right, it was
right.
Not a very long time before yeah. that ended, and the Germans had control of the northern part of France.
And they were received by the government.
Yes.
Pétain, Maréchal Philippe Pétain, received them with open arms.
But you'll do research on that.
But already for many, many, many nights before that, we always went to bed with our shoes next to us, with some chocolate, with all the homework we had to do, that all went downstairs to the abri, which was the air raid shelter, beautifully arranged. They had a very nice basement there, and it said apartment, something stands, it's going to be here and that apartment, here and that one. And we always brought some food down, as I said, and homework. And then when the sirens came up again, we went back up, then it was time to go to school, and it became normal.
It's a very important thing that you're saying as far as having people understand how we end up adjusting to whatever the circumstances are.
Yeah, but it was so well organized.
Right.
You couldn't just move around there and do what you wanted.
Right.
And you had
this
to...
This is life now.
That's what we do. That's right. And elderly people or whatever, they could take the elevator down. And other people walked down, never mind what floor they were on. And we made friends, and in the morning you went back to school. No excuse. And that went for a while. Of course, long before that, and I cannot give you a date, but it was still winter, all the men, all the foreign-born men were assembled. And also I have to tell you that we were in France completely legally. with all the papers that you had to have. The only people who were not nice to us right at the beginning, more or less, were the French Jews.
Not in common.
They didn't need us. They were afraid that... But otherwise, we were completely legal, carte d'identité, the whole bit. However, all the Jewish men were assembled in the, they call it Vel Div or something, Velodrome d'Hiver, it was a, like medicine gardens. They were there. However, you could come and bring them food when you wanted to. And everybody brought sardines in cans or pâté foie gras also in cans to visit. And after a while, the women, too, had to go. However, if the woman had children under 15, or one child under 15, she didn't have to go. So my mother qualified, but not my grandmother and not my aunt. They were taken to a camp. I don't think it had a name, and it wasn't in Paris. They were right away shipped somewhere
south.
To the center. Not south.
Oh, the center.
Middle.
Center,
yes.
Okay.
And we didn't know where. Okay? That was much later than the men. The men also were shipped. It was called rassemblement, assemble. So they had them all in one place and with, you know, could just pick them up and send them somewhere to please Germans. That's what it was. And on the June 10th, the Germans came in. A week after Belgium and Holland, a month after, it was May 10th.
May, right.
And we were June 10th. And the planes were already overhead and everything, and there we were, and we had very, very good friends from Nuremberg.
By the way, she was 16 at the time.
Just keep that in mind.
I mean, it's hard to envision,
right.
But I think it's an important thing, because when... The people who are going to hear this,
right?
A lot of them are going to be about 16 years old.
Right. Yeah.
And those 16-year-old girls, like, you're living this other world.
Totally different life. Yeah. So, that morning, we knew we couldn't stay, because what we saw looking out of the window was Exodus. A real exodus. You have no idea. People walked, they would push baby carriages, and some were empty. But for their things, and wheelbarrow and bicycles or nothing, and the whole city was walking in one direction. And we had extremely good friends who lived in the same compound in an older building, being the new building. There was two sisters. One was divorced, my parents' generation, very good friends. One mother divorced and the other one was a widow, one from Frankfurt, one from Nuremberg. And there was one son and one daughter, our age, my brother and my age. So they were four people. And we were my mother, my brother and I, because the others were gone. And the only way to get out, we decided, was a car. But we didn't have a car. And my mother walked to a very close by second-hand car place. And for cash, she bought a second-hand big Chrysler. Nobody of these three ladies knew how to drive. And in the building where we were, there was a nice family. They were Polish Jews, and they lived there. And the father, Mr. Schneider, was a, what do you call that? He was Polish, and he was called up for the army, a deserter. He didn't go. He had sent his wife and two children away. I have no idea. Somewhere into France, somewhere south or something. And he could drive. So we knew him vaguely, and he was delighted that he would get out, and he drove that car, and we were allowed, each of us, a suitcase that big, sort of like underwear and a change of clothes, and all that was put in the car, and all the other, the French cars that drove all over out, They all had mattresses on top, and they thought it would save them from bombs. And those friends of ours, two sisters, they said, if we have to sleep somewhere, we are better off in a down quilt or something that we can wrap around us than in a mattress we can. So there were about four down quilts on top of our car. And we went. Now, we went in the opposite direction from everybody else in order to get gas.
Smart.
To get to a gas station was like impossible.
Right.
But there was a big brewery that was a client of my father's,
right.
And my mother knew, and it was right outside of Paris in the wrong direction. But we went, and we filled up not only the tank only, but every can that could fit, and some food. And then we went in the correct direction.
You didn't have any beer then, did you?
No, what?
You didn't have beer to drink.
No.
Okay. And I just wanted to make sure.
My father never drank beer, only wine. When we were still in Germany, he had wine for every meal, a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Not beer.
I'd rather not.
Yes. So that was smart. And we started driving like everybody else. I mean, you could have walked next to it. And every night, some nights, we stayed outside.
So here you're driving and people are walking relatively at the same pace.
Absolutely.
Were people asking,
we
come in?
They
sit
couldn't
on top?
Have. I mean, they didn't ask. On top were the mattress. Were the
right.
Down.
The down, yes. Right. And to sit on top of that.
We were seven people in that car.
So there was no room inside the car itself.
They could see that.
Okay.
I mean, that just wasn't.
Right.
We didn't go any faster than they did.
No, I understand, but okay.
We eventually got out of Paris, and it still didn't go any faster because we weren't the only car.
Right.
And the first night, I remember, we just stopped. And some people stayed in the car to sleep, and some others got out of the car and slept on the grass. And then the next day, we drove again south. And you could see in some of the villages we went through, never through cities, always through villages, there were people outside, and they would give us a piece of bread, or maybe they had water for us. You couldn't stop at McDonald's or something. You know, there was no place you could stop. And very often we could stay somewhere inside at night. I remember a cloister where the nuns let us stay
now,
downstairs.
Were you in like the Loire River Valley at this point, or
yes, we were going south. We were
right.
Our destination was Bordeaux,
so
we went south and
west,
because it was unoccupied. And some people were very nice and let us sleep, and some people gave us something to eat, and we made it. And we got to Bordeaux. And we went to a hotel. And the closet had still, it wasn't an armoire, they still had French uniforms. Not still, I mean, somehow there were French there, but their uniforms were in the closet. And we stayed there for two or three nights. And then we continued south to Carcassonne, which is a gorgeous city, an old city that's still not rebuilt, but still built, the old city, and people live there, but it's also a new city. And we went there for a reason, because there was a big brewery there, and we didn't know where my father was. We had no idea where he was. There were no address. We didn't know where they were. But my mother thought that my father might think that we went to Carcassonne because he would maybe think we went there.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
You know? So we went
smart.
There.
Listen, when you don't know, you try to come up with something, and that's pretty impressive.
Right. So we did. And we got to Carcassonne. That was a week and 2 days later or something by the time we got there. And that was the place where the other two ladies and their two children decided to quit. Or rather, we decided to stay. They didn't have anybody in any camp.
Right.
And they wanted to go to Spain over the Alps, which our family couldn't do. We couldn't do it because we had three people in some camp that we didn't know where they were. So there was the goodbye. I can see it in front of a bakery where we bought rolls to eat. I remember that. Close to the brasserie, and it was tears and tears and tears. And they left in the car, and we stayed. And that brewery helped us a lot through the whole thing. And the first thing they said, you're going to go, they were a little bit outside of the city, you go to such and such a hotel, you register, and you stay there. We did. And all the other things, I really don't know what happened. But my mother, my brother, and I went to that hotel in Carcassonne, and the following day, my mother left us there and went to find the three people. How she did it, I have no idea. She went with a lot of cash, I found out later, and she actually found, and my grandmother and my aunt, they were in the same place, my father was somewhere totally different, she bought them out and came back with them. And we, since we still were totally legal, and the Germans weren't there, we rented a hut, more or less, a building that we all moved in. We were father, mother, aunt, grandmother, brother and I, six we were. And it had two bedrooms, and who didn't have a bedroom had a living room, and there was a kitchen with a wood stove. I mean, you couldn't turn on the gas. Not even coal, wood, which you had to get. And one little bathroom had running water. We lived there. Legally. Paid rent. I went not to school. My brother went to school. They shipped him somewhere else for the whole week, and then he came back weekends. I don't know, but they didn't ship me. And, forgot to say, while I was in Paris, I went to it wasn't a dance school, it was like High School of Performing Arts High School here in New York.
Yes.
We had subjects to learn too, but it was mainly because that's what I was doing, dance, gymnastics, that not American gymnastics,
right.
Like Swedish gymnastics,
right.
No apparatus, nothing. We learned that. We had to learn anatomy, physiology, massage, all sorts of things. Solfège, music.
So you do know at the end of this, you're going to be giving all of us massages and doing dances.
Yes, dance for us, right.
Now I charge for it.
Now you charge.
You have a dollar?
I never used it, but that's what we learned. Mm-hmm. Every bone, every muscle, you name it. Mm-hmm. But also, of course, this was a big school, and we learned how to teach. Besides what we had to do ourselves.
Right.
Daily, from morning to night, in Paris. But during the summer, she was somewhere, she had a school where she was every summer, that woman, very well-known school, a summer school, and that was in the unoccupied, still French zone, and that's where I spent two summers with her. Therefore, I got my diploma. So in Carcassonne, with my diploma in hand, I started teaching.
And this is, what year is this?
41, 42. By 42 we left. The end of 40, I mean half a year of 40,
right.
And
right.
41.
Okay.
We all lived in that miserable house, and I put ads in the local paper, and I had a course for children, young children, older children, and adults. The adults was very important. And I did that, and they loved it. They had never done anything like this. This hadn't come out of Paris much, just to big cities. Carcassonne wasn't a big city. So everything was good. Until, of course, it wasn't good anymore. We had to leave. They had food.